If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and I want to begin reading in verse 10. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to preach about the law today. I will be speaking of the curse of the law when I get to it. But the law is not my subject. However, this scripture reading that I just did Paul starts it with this flat statement. And this is a flat statement. This is not up to debate. It's not up for any argument. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Amen. I'm going to put it right there. Period. Period. So I have to say something about that. Because that's the way Paul starts this, going to this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. My title is Substitute. Substitution, excuse me. And I think Paul Walter did a really good job about this a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not going to have to spend a lot of time here. But I just wanted to say, I want to tell you, want to do the deeper meaning, Paul. The deeper meaning of this is this. No man is justified by the law in God's sight. No man. Now, you understand, if it's true when Paul wrote this, it's true now. If it's true when Paul wrote this, and it is, it's always been true. Nothing changed. The law did not change. But no man's ever been justified by the law. That's why Christ came. There's no qualifier here, and there's no time element here except the present. No man is justified. No believing man is justified by the law in God's sight. And certainly no unbelieving man is justified by the law in God's sight. But Paul is writing to believers and telling us this. The just, by faith, shall live. And the law is not of faith. And that's just what it says. What I want to get to, though, is verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. First of all, Christ has redeemed us. Now the emphasis there was mine because of this. Paul wrote this in the past tense. And I'm going to say this, I'll say it again, I'm sure I've said it before. Paul knows the difference between the present tense and the past tense. He's a very smart man. Very educated, and matter of fact, God taught him the gospel. He was taught the gospel by Jesus Christ. And he said Christ has redeemed us. Very clearly, in the past tense. Now, what does the word redeemed mean? Redeemed. It means to pay the ransom. That's what it means. Ah, wait a minute. And, here's the thing. Take ownership. Take ownership. I like that. I do. You understand? It's not that he just bought us and said, oh, go. No. He bought you to himself.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
He owns you if he bought you. I like that. Paul said it. I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. What's that mean? He meant a bond slave. Christ owns me. And being a bond slave means I love it. I love it. I'm glad of it. Oh, I know. To redeem someone is to deliberately, purposefully go out of your way to pay a debt that you don't owe. Christ didn't owe a debt. I did. Christ didn't owe a debt. You did. And we couldn't pay it. We could not pay it. What's that mean? Redemption was not an accident. It was not an afterthought. It was the purpose of Jesus Christ. When he came to this world, the angels told the shepherd, the angel told Joseph, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There was a purpose, a very clear purpose. And I want to tell you this right now. I've kind of heard it in passing, and I think it's just a mistake on somebody's part. I hope that's all it was. But right now, understand, Christ is not redeeming anyone. He's calling in his people. He's bringing in his sheep, but he's not redeeming anyone. Redemption is done. Christ has redeemed us. Has. The good shepherd did give up his life for his sheep. And other sheep he had that were not of this flock right then. But them I must bring. And guess what? He redeemed them all at the same time. And the same time he redeemed them, he redeemed us who are alive right now. If we are redeemed. Redemption was a one-time act of the Son of God manifest in the flesh, done to perfection. Matter of fact, in Psalms, it prophesies of a plenteous redemption. And in Hebrews, we're told that he hath obtained, past tense, eternal redemption for us. Once, by the one offering. Oh, I like that, I do. But here specifically, Paul is telling us, Paul is telling us, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the law's curse is very simple. Break it and die. That's the only punishment for breaking the law. Death. Death. Matter of fact, this is the curse of God on sinful men. He told Adam in the garden, in the day thou eat of it, you die. Yeah. And Adam died. Yeah. And he was our federal head. And in Adam, all die. Yeah. Ah, but in Christ shall all be made alive. Yeah. I like that, you know. See, I told you there's good news here. But he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Because here's what the law says. To be guilty in one point is to be guilty of the whole law. Amen. Of breaking the whole law. Yeah. And understand, it's not that you break the laws of God. It's the law. Yeah. Singular. It is one coherent whole law. Yes. And if you break one part of it, you've broken the whole thing. Yeah. Now trust me, we break more than one part of it every day. And so do you. And so do I. We break it. Christ has redeemed us from the law's curse. The curse of the law. Oh, I like that. The broken law has one curse, and we need to be redeemed from that curse. And Paul is telling us we have been. We have been redeemed. See, because there's another part of this. There are some people. God said, I'll send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Yeah. But there's one thing that most people don't want to consider about breaking one law. I've never stole anything. I've never killed anybody. I've never committed adultery. That may be true. That may be true. There are people who are willing to justify themselves. And they try to justify themselves before God. It doesn't happen. Paul's already said it. No man. No man. Anyway. But here's the thing. Leave one part out of the law and you've broken it. You understand? Don't love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength one time and you've broken the law. Don't love your neighbor as yourself one time. You've broken the law and you're guilty of all. And the law says, the law's curse says, die. Death. That's the wages of sin is death. But thank God he didn't stop there either. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It's a hard thing to think about. It's a hard thing to relate to people. They don't quite understand it. One sin, you know, one stolen paper clip. Oh, one thanks not given, where you should have given thanks. And here's the one that got the Apostle Paul. We talked about this the other day on the phone. One unholy thought, and you've broken the law.
Amen.
Now, a lot of people want to say, you know, oh, well, those Ten Commandments, you know, that's deeds, not thoughts. Christ said if you thought it in your head, if you thought it in your heart, you've committed the act already. And you know what? That's the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. That's a thought. You understand? That's a thought. Thou shalt not covet. If you take somebody's stapler, that's stealing. If you think about taking somebody's stapler, that's coveting. The one sin that Christ started his diatribe with when he was talking about what comes out of a man, the first thing he listed was the words evil thoughts. You understand? My tongue's an unruly member. I can't control it that well. But my thoughts, Lord of mercy, they condemn me every day.
Amen.
And your thoughts condemn you every day. I guarantee it. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law. What did he say? Here it is. Substitution. Being made a curse for us. For us. He was made a curse for us. And here it is. Christ has redeemed us, being made a curse for us. Those are exactly the same people. The ones that he redeemed are the ones that he was made a curse for.
Amen.
This is the gracious doctrine of substitution. Christ Jesus took my place. In my stead. You understand? I should be dead right now. But in Christ, I live. Why? Because he has redeemed us, being made a curse for us. We were cursed. I was cursed. And rightly so. Deservingly so. And he was made a curse for us. I don't know. You understand, we broke his holy and just and good commandments. We were condemned already when it says we didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He that believeth not on Jesus Christ, on him the Lord sent, is condemned already. And yet Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Joseph Hart wrote this: "This curse pertained to those who break one precept, e'er so small. And where's the man in thought or deed that has not broken all?" That's us, folks. That's us. And that is what Christ took upon himself. He was made a curse for us. You understand? Jesus Christ had never done any sin. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to even believe at this time. It never had a wrong thought. Never. Jesus Christ loved his neighbor as himself every day. All day. He loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength every day. And yet this man, this God man, became a curse for us, amen, for his people. Now that's love. That's love. This is how he redeemed us. He shed his blood willingly when our blood should have been shed. He became a curse and died the death that we earned, that we deserved. He died as a malefactor. He died as a criminal. He died in full view of the heaven and the earth and the people that were gathered there. And that's where we should have been. Because we were the guilty ones. We were the sinners. We were the malefactors. He became our substitute, and by that, I mean, he took our place. He took our death. While he was on that tree, he said it: "Father, why hast thou forsaken me? God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This is why. He was made a curse for us. He was made a curse for us. God forsook God. And I agree with Martin Luther. I can't explain how that could happen, but I know it did. And I know in the Father's sight, he forsook the Son. Why? Because the Son took our curse upon himself. Now, he became our substitute, and by his redemption, we are now clean, without sin. That first burnt offering that Abraham offered, first time the burnt offering is mentioned in the Bible, he was going to offer up his son Isaac. Why? Because God said so. And he took Isaac, and Isaac looked at him and said, "We've got the wood, we got the fire, we're going to do a burnt offering, where's the lamb?" And Abraham looked at him and told him, he said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." And God did. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is a Lamb of God, slain as from before the foundation of the world.
Amen. That's right.
When Isaac and Abraham got up there, and Abraham was getting ready to raise that knife, Isaac was laying on the altar. God said, "Whoa, stop." And he said, "Look over there." And there was a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. And they took that ram and put it in the place of Isaac on that altar and slew it, killed it. And that ram's blood was shed in the place of Isaac. That's substitution. And Isaac was received as from the dead by Abraham. Abraham had been thinking him dead for 3 days on the trip there. And he received him. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. He knew that God had promised his seed to come through Isaac. And that even if he killed Isaac, God was going to have to raise him from the dead. But he received him as from the dead. Well, how? by faith. By faith. And God gave a substitute for Isaac right there in that place. And that's what Christ did for us. God placed him on that cross. Jesus Christ voluntarily went there. He could have called 12 legions of angels. But no, he came to become a curse for us. Abraham had faith, so Abraham believed God. And God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And I can tell you this, there was never a truer word spoken. Because God did provide himself a lamb. God provided the lamb as himself, and God provided the lamb himself. That's substitution. And Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came and redeemed us, his people, from the curse of the law. And we have been given in him and by him eternal life. Eternal life. You understand? In a very real sense, I'm going to make a statement. I can't die. Now, it's not because I'm good. It's not because I'm strong. It's got nothing at all to do with me, and it's got nothing at all to do with this physical body. This body can die. But by the promises of God in Jesus Christ, believers shall never die. And when their bodies die, it says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know why? Because he's bringing them home. He's bringing them home. I like that. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We had an innumerable multitude of sins, and he took them all. He took them all upon himself, and he took them in himself. He bore in his body on the tree our sins. And here's the thing. We had absolutely no part in this redemption. He did it. He did it. It's done, but he did it. It's done because he did it. We were there in him, but we don't participate. We don't help. We don't help now. Redemption is done. Redemption is done. He became a curse for us. We were there in his heart and his mind. And upon his shoulders he carried us. I was thinking about this on the way up here. When they crossed over Jordan, the law stayed behind. And the law came with them. Moses stayed behind. Moses, as a picture of the law, stayed behind in the wilderness. And Joshua led the children into the promised land. Now, with Joshua was the law. But it was inside the tabernacle, with the mercy seat on top of it. That law is fulfilled in Christ. And he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh my. See him dying in our place, bearing under our disgrace, bearing all our sin and blame, Christ, our substitute, was slain. John Fortner wrote that. And that one Walter just read today. He pleads, though a sinner, I am safe. He pleads before the throne, his life and death in my behalf, and calls my sins his own. Oh, I like that verse. I do. He was made a curse for us. He was made a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Ah, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. The blessing of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and he got up and he got out. Abraham believed God, and he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. The faith of Abraham is the faith of God's elect. Yeah. And the faith of God's elect is the faith of Jesus Christ, the one who became a curse for us, our substitute. And it is by grace through faith that we are saved. And that's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. You know why? Because we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And let me tell you this, folks, believing Christ is a good work.
Amen. Yeah.
Believing God is a good work. Yeah. Faith in God is a good work. It's the gift of the Spirit. Yeah. Oh my, that we redeemed Gentiles are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I like that. And we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, his gift. I'll close with this. 1 Peter 2 and 24 says this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree.
Amen. Yeah.
That we, here it is, here's where we are. That we, what? Being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. He became a curse for us. And him becoming a curse to us made us dead to sins. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For all the promises of God are in him, it are yea, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth with you in Christ has anointed us and hath anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Oh, I like that. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Amen.
Being made a curse for us. Understand, if you believe God, if you've been given faith, and you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no curse upon you now. None at all. Christ took it away. He took away our sins. He was made a curse. Now, our sins had to be punished. And they were. In him. In him. And thank God for him. We have been given eternal life in Christ Jesus. Everlasting life. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this time, this place. Lord, thank you for all of the blessings you've given to us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He has saved us, redeemed us, called us, justified us from all sin. He has given us his righteousness to wear as a robe, to wear in your sight. We are clean in him. Be with Paul and Walter as they come to preach your word. Help us. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our hearts, to dwell upon it, to think upon you and your Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.